And we are live, I think, I hope. Friday the
Yes.
13th. Welcome to
Oh
Pate
dear.
Inc.
I haven't even noticed the date today.
Oh God, what rock have you crawled from underneath?
I
Right.
don't
Are you superstitious?
know. No. No, not at all.
Good. What are we doing? We're doing Peeling Potatoes. Episode 4. We have reached the fourth episode and we're still talking with each other. How
Amazing.
strange. Amazing, isn't it? Right. So as I said before, before we went on air, you posted a long letter of
Yes.
complaint in Dear Abby. You put
Yes.
in the beginning of this complaint a disclaimer. Yes, I do love my husband.
Yes, I do.
Qu quote unquote, even though he sometimes does things that I do not agree with. Yeah,
Yes.
but that's men. And your husband did something
Yes.
on, must have been last weekend, Saturday,
Sunday,
Sunday.
last
He
Sunday, yes.
did something on Sunday. And my question that I have been harboring for days on end, it's been torturous, was I am curious, can you tell me or describe to us, the listeners and the viewers, describe to us the moment, the precise moment when this incident happened? Because I understand it, you were at home
Yes.
and your husband was out and he did something.
Yes.
And he walked through the door, and you saw this whole thing open up in front of you.
Great. So what happened? There's a new movie on our it's called DStv. So the channels, different channels from across the world. So it has History Channel, Kids Channel, sports, mostly sports. And that's why we have it. It's for the sport. But there's a new movie. It's called Wild Robot or The Wild Robot or something in those lines. So this robot ends up on an island after the ship or the container fell off the ship or something. So I watched this movie with my son on Saturday night. It was very nice, refreshing because we are tired of watching the same thing over and over. He likes to watch things on the repeat. And this robot found an egg. This egg is it was a goose, I think. A goose or a duck, I can't remember. And then she took this as her duty to take care of the egg. And when the egg hatched, she also made sure that it had, she had three things that she had to teach it. First to swim, then to fly, and the other one, I think, was to take care of itself or something in those lines. But the swimming and the flying was hilarious. So eventually, this little duck grew into a I think it's a duck. Let's say it's a duck. Grew into a bigger one, and then the duck migrated to Africa when the winter came. And the robot was left on the island with the other animals. She saved them. Whole story short, the duck came back, and they lived happily ever after until the company who produced or who made these robots sent someone to collect the robot. They had a short little war and they took her back to where she belongs. And they tried to wipe her memories. But that didn't work because she, whatever she learned and whatever she felt was from her heart in the end, not her brain, her robotic brain
So
and the robot heart.
robots have hearts and have emotions. Okay, we'll
In
leave
the
that.
movie, yes. She didn't have them in the beginning, but she grew them as she lived on this island. So she was actually a wild robot. But anyways, so my son came up with this idea that he wants a duck. So I explained to him, you can't have a duck because we don't have a place to keep the duck. We don't have a pond for the duck to sleep in. It's winter, it's cold. Okay. Then on Sunday morning, he woke up, he got dressed, he wants to go to the pet shop. Okay. I said, I'm not going with you. My husband said, okay, I will have to take him now because he's already dressed, he's on a mission. So they went to the first pet shop. They do have exotic animals, snakes, spiders, lizards, bearded dragons. They even have a very interesting, it's called a caiman lizard. So it looks like a crocodile, but it also looks like a lizard, swims in water, and it's a nice green shade.
My
But I don't want this.
goodness. My, I mean, it's mind-blowing what you can buy in a South African pet shop. I mean,
It's
it's
crazy. There's ferrets, there's foxes, there's sometimes they do have chickens. They have monkeys, different kinds of monkeys. They have parrots, different kinds of parrots.
and it's legal
And
to
all
buy.
kinds of
It's legal to buy these things,
for
yeah.
some of them you need to have a permit, but I'm sure the owner of the pet shop knows how to help you with that. She also needs permits to keep these animals, and she imports them. So she gets a lot of different animals from a lot of different places. And the SPCA, so the SPCA actually takes care of the animals around the areas, dogs, cats, farms, you name it. They also go to her shop regularly to check what is happening there. So, my husband is here. He's going to hear the story. So, they went to the pet shop. They didn't find a duck or a chicken or something there. And there's another pet shop. They decided to go there because my son said he wants to see if they have. And it turned out that this pet shop has extended over the last few months. We haven't been to it. And they did have chickens. Apart from all the other things they keep, fish, cats, hamsters, also spiders. I think they have one or two snakes, not a lot. And they got the chicken. So they also bought a feeding, like a feeding container for the chicken and something for water. And they came home, walked into the house with a small little bag of eggs. I look at them like, but how are you going to hatch these eggs if this is your plan? So they said, no, the lady at the pet shop gave this to my son to eat. So it's small little eggs. I don't even know from which chicken it comes, but it's also healthy. You can eat it and whatever else. And then they spoke about a chicken. I thought, well, we don't have a chicken. I think maybe I misheard them, or maybe I didn't want to hear it, but they said, oh, we have to fetch the chicken in the car. And they had the bag with the feed and the containers, and they went and they got the chicken from the car in a box so she can't run away. So that's how we got the chicken, and now her name is Nuggets.
I think it's safe to say that you were not amused.
No, not at all. With the history of pets and the fighting with the dogs and everything,
Yes, I mean
no, I.
it's quite a bloody story at times.
Yes.
Dogs versus rabbits or rabbits versus dogs.
Yes.
War in southern Johannesburg. The first dog war and the second dog war, and then the removal of such, etc. So mean, it's sort of kind of mind-blowing. You're not exactly enthusiastic about Nuggets having moved in. It happened anyway, but it happened
Oh.
anyway. Yeah.
It happened anyway,
So,
yes.
so how is Nuggets doing? Is he showing?
Happy.
She's happy.
She, yes, she's happy. We made a makeshift coop in the backyard. So in the mornings we take her out. So at night it's too cold to leave her out. So at night she sleeps in the same box that she came in. I added a blanket in there. And then we close her in the shower. So it was my suggestion to keep her in the shower because, first of all, it's easy to clean in the mornings. Second of all, the dogs can't get to her. She can't get out. She has her food, she has her water, and she stays warm.
Who cleans the shower? Because I mean the
Do
expression
I
on your
really need to answer?
well,
I do.
it was a slightly rhetorical question.
I do.
All right. And then the at some point Nuggets will start laying an egg, and then of course you will have a or your son will have a egg for breakfast every morning, courtesy of Nuggets.
Yes. So from what I remember from when we lived on the farm, a chicken lays 1.5 eggs per day.
One
So
point
maybe,
five.
yes, 1.5 with the calculations. So one egg, skip one day, then another egg. So it would be one egg every second day, basically.
So the reaction that you may have hurled at your husband and your son, what is the chance of Nuggets having a companion? Because I mean, one chicken will feel lonely. Or
I don't know.
am I stirring
I don't
too
know
much?
yet. Maybe. Maybe if after the winter, if we can sort out a coop and then we'll look into that.
But your son is happy,
Everyone's happy.
and Nuggets has moved in. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Brilliant. Well, Rita has a chicken.
Yes.
Okay. So we do have some topics here. So what are you going to throw at me?
Let's talk about the Christmas in July.
Yes.
So when I told you about this, you said this is genius. This is very good. And I asked you if you have something like this in your country. So tell me about that.
Well, okay. So here in France, it's being in the Northern Hemisphere. It is now about 24 degrees outside. It's 10:30 in the morning. It's 24 degrees outside. So Christmas is probably as far away as it can be,
6 months.
imaginatively.
Yes.
And also, France is about to close down. So come the beginning of July, when the school holidays start, and they last for about just over 2 months. This country literally shuts down. You cannot get anything seriously done for the love of money,
Okay.
because of the French lifestyle. The French love to live and enjoy life, and it is a highly productive country. Surprisingly so, but the French way of life is you work, but you don't work to live. You go with the flow and enjoy life. So for 2 months
Yes.
nothing happens. So Christmas in July is like totally alien, because it's far too stressful to do anything like that over here. And secondly, of course, also, and this is where the thinking comes from on your side. And when, as a kid in Australia, we had
Yes.
Christmas in the summer months. It was
Yes.
blistering hot outside. The Christmas, my parents, me being German, my parents wanted to have a traditional German Christmas with a Christmas tree and all the trimmings that
Yes.
go with it. The Christmas tree arrived on the 24th, and it decided to kill itself by the 26th because it was so hot and dry that it would just lose its needles automatically, no matter how much water you poured into it. But it couldn't be an artificial Christmas tree. It was an absolute no-go. It was like forbidden. The thought was sacrilege. You do not even think that. Anyway, so Christmas in Europe, of course, is a cold season. It's winter here, and there seems to be also an important part of it. I mean, let's leave all the religious side of Christmas to one side for a minute, but sort of in the cycle here, October is sort of the golden month when the leaves start falling, they turn color and start falling. It becomes it's quite, depending where you are, quite a beautiful month. It's still relatively warm, but you're sort of moving. November tends to be sort of like this dark, dreary month where it's
Oh dear.
foggy, it's cold. There's a couple of religious holidays here. You think about people who have died, and it's sort of like, it's so depressing. Yeah, and the
Yes.
days, and we revert to wintertime on the end and the last weekend of October. So all of a sudden it gets dark quite early.
Yes.
And sort of when we head towards the winter equinox, it gets, at least where I live, it gets dark at about 4:30 in the afternoon. So Christmas comes along, and it's all these candles and these cozy lights and the warmth, and we drink mulled wine and we go out and go to Christmas markets. And it's a very warm, cozy atmosphere
Yes.
in a very dark month.
Yes.
And that's where the magic of the secular side of Christmas comes in, because
Yes.
especially down in Strasbourg, I tend to avoid Strasbourg in December, because the city is just one gigantic Christmas market, and it takes you, I mean, now it's bad, it takes you, when I drive to Strasbourg, it takes me an hour to get to Strasbourg, and then another hour to get to where I want to be in Strasbourg if I'm driving at the wrong time of the day. But at Christmas is just like mayhem. Yeah. So either you take the train or you just don't go in, period. End of discussion,
Yes.
because it's everything is sealed off. There are security control points. You cannot enter the town without going through security checks, because of a terrorist incident a couple of years ago, et cetera, et cetera. So Christmas in July on this side of the equator is totally, totally, totally alien.
Yes.
That said, where you are in the middle of winter, if you take the atmosphere and the cold days and the short days, etc., though, your winter is still very sunny by comparison. We just
Yes.
we sink into this dark gray, horrible, gunky month, and we stay there for about 3 months. Yeah, sunshine is rare. Yeah.
Yes.
So I can understand where you're coming from on this one. Do you have anything in mind with Christmas in July? Okay.
Promotion
So
to let everyone know what our prices would be like. And it's like Christmas.
now this is interesting.
Yes. So
Do think.
usually with the Christmas in July, we don't actually celebrate Christmas in July. but there's a lot of stores that have sales promotions, winter promotions that they will promote as Christmas in July, because things like makeup and different food articles and sometimes turkey and chickens goes on to promotion, and you can buy it at a discounted price. And some of the stores will create two things: a winter wonderland with pretend snow and snowflakes, and others will have a certain area set up that is decorated as Christmas. so this is something that is actually seen in a lot of places. Some malls will also have a Christmas in July where they'll have a market and things like that. But most of the time, we also have Christmas markets in December. And then all the stores, all the supermarkets, everything is decorated as Christmas. And then we actually celebrate Christmas too. But our Christmas lunches would be something like salads and cold meats because it's too hot. Or maybe have a barbecue and a beer. But the idea for the Christmas in July came from what the supermarkets do around here to have a Christmas in July to put certain articles on promotion. And that is what we want to do as well.
Exactly.
Yes.
And we have already quite a competitive price. We haven't really talked about it, but it's something that I really want to push
Yes.
further into the public domain now. And it just ties with a whole lot of other different things. So to become a Breda resident, you pay what we call a residence tax. And
Yes.
that is set at 20 euros per month.
Yes.
And for that, you get to enter Breda and move around Breda as a resident, as a citizen, take part in all the activities that we are creating, meet other people in all the meetings that we have. But that again comes as a slight surcharge. So you want to go to a meeting, you pay another 5 euros for that, basically for two reasons. It gives the whole thing a little bit of value. So
Yes.
it's not for free, because there is this scenario that free something is free. Actually, the person buying or using that is the product. Yeah,
Yes.
and you're not the product, or the residents are not the product. They are citizens, and we support them and host them in various activities. Yeah,
Yes.
and the 20 euros a month base rate is simply to keep the show running. Yeah.
Yes.
It costs money to support the platform. It costs money to have you here. It costs money to have me here. It
Yes.
costs it, all these things are costs, and I would love to do
Yes.
it for free, but sorry, can't. Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that's a fairly, understandable process. So what are we
Yes.
promoting? Two for the price of one, get one free, bring a member free, eat as much as you like.
Eat as much as you like. I think I did mention to you earlier sometime this week, maybe we can do a like a tube or bring a friend. We just have to think of the wording, but bring a friend and maybe pay for one.
Yes, a bog off, buy one, get one free. Yeah.
Yes.
So a bog off, buy one, get one, bring a friend, bring yourself and bring a friend,
Yes.
and the friend will pay for you. Yeah. So basically, during July, two for the price of one, limited season. Christmas does have an
Yes.
end. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
So we can start that promoting not only the flat rate of 20 euros a month, but also the events, etc. And
Yes.
please bring a friend. We have set a cap. So I did actually do a lot of number crunching and deep looking down a wine glass and a coffee cup and so on and so forth. And we have set a cap of, probably said this before, 100, 250 people.
Yes.
That is the size of the community, give or take one or two. So
Yes.
we remain a small community, manageable, because you and I are going to host all of this. We're rolling out
Yes.
a whole stack of meetings, and we're going to host these mostly together. Maybe one or two we do by ourselves, because some of my meetings are at really absurd hours. One or two of your meetings are outside of absurdity as well. But basically, we sort of never close. We're always open. We look at the platform, we look at the website, to encourage people to participate, etc. So,
Yes.
250 people, there will be enough space for everybody to move freely, to have our support, and we go from there. So, we do. And so in July, If you want to join us and you bring a friend, you can join for free, or the friend can join for free. Anyway, you get two slots for the price of one from the 1st
Yes.
to the 30th or 31st of July. How many days July has? I never know this.
I think it's 31.
31? Okay.
In you school, see, they taught us something about the knuckles.
Exactly. I can't remember
which is which.
No. You start in January, and that's the knuckle one. So January, February, March, April, May, June, July. So I hit a knuckle. So 31 days. I can't actually tell you this because I've got a wall calendar to my right here, but it only goes to the 30th of June, and then I have to turn it around. You see.
Oh dear.
But because I'm already sort of working into July and August in some of my plannings, my timeline ends on the 30th of June. I can't do anything
now.
Yeah, for now.
Until you turn it over.
Exactly. So if you have a question that pertains to anything after the 1st of July, I can't answer it. Go to Janita. Yeah.
I'm always available.
Exactly. We never close. Yeah.
My calendar goes all the way to December.
Yes. You see, you're much more long-sighted and far-sighted than I am. Yeah. Women think differently. Yeah. Women think.
I think so too. Yes.
Right. Okay. Shall we talk about yesterday's lunch?
We can. Yes. What do you want to talk about?
Lunch.
The
with
movement.
Yes. So lunch. Lunch with Janita and Frank, which airs every Thursday from 11:30 till 12:30 Central European Summer Time. So GMT plus two. If you live in a different time zone, you do the math. What we talked about movement yesterday, didn't we? And it was one of my topics.
Yes. So did you dance in the kitchen with your wine last night?
No, I did not, because I was too busy doing other stuff. Dinner sort of fell by the wayside a little bit. I did sit outside with a glass of wine to watch the sunset, just one of our, because we do these stupid things here. We keep the time. When does the sun go behind the hill?
Right.
And yesterday evening, it went behind the hill at 18 minutes past 8.
Okay.
And, of course, the big question is that next Saturday, I'm looking at my calendar, next Friday, we have the winter summer equinox, and then everything goes downhill from there. Yeah, so the days gradually start getting shorter. It takes a while for it to knock through, but yeah. Anyway, so we had this lunch. We talked about movement. And it was a really, really brilliant conversation.
Yes, I agree. I did most of the talking.
Which was one of the reasons why it was brilliant. Yeah. So what was the original plan?
The original plan was to talk about movement and to ask everyone to tell us about the favorite way that they move. We ended up being five yesterday in the group.
We were five, so we were
slightly less than normal. Mm-hmm. But I did have some backup questions too. the fruit loopy kind. Yes, and the idea was to go through a few of them to give everyone a chance. A fair chance to talk to us.
with us, yes.
And then I think you asked the question about the trains in South Africa.
Or something. It was you jogging in the morning. But let's go back. because the dynamics of this was really, really interesting. So
yes.
So we have to actually put the viewer and the listener into context. So that there's you in South Africa, me here in Cleeborg in France. We had Rosie in Sao Paulo, and at 6:30 in the morning when she joins us, so she's sort of like quite naturally yawning away, and you know, where's my coffee?
And it's winter as well, so it's very cold.
And she was complaining and this was the beauty of it. She complained in a very natural conversational way about how cold it is there
Yes.
at the moment for her, by her standards. So it was 10 degrees in the morning.
Yes.
And then she sort of quite naturally explains that she had about, I don't know, 25 trillion layers to keep warm.
Yes.
And it was such a natural way of doing this. Yeah. And
Yes.
that was the first thing that sort of resonated with me. We come and then we move across to we move across to Seoul in South Korea, where Clea joined us. 18 years old, French national, about to move to the UK, to Edinburgh in Scotland, for September to study something there. So we have also the different generations, different
Yes.
locations. And then we have Bruce, a retired professor, a futurologist, sitting in London. And I'm going to leave Bruce where he is for the moment because that came later in the whole conversation. Anyway, so you started with the sort of opening question, how do we like to move? And it was fairly predictable. Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody focused on exercise, sports, keeping fit, because this is the mindset. This is what we have been
Yes.
trained to do. This is what
Exactly.
society is. We are now responsible for everything and ourselves. You cannot rely on the government or any other organization. It's your life. You
Yes.
do what has to be done. Until this idiot that you're talking with comes along and says, well, actually, I like dancing in the kitchen when I'm cooking. I drink wine. I just break all the rules. Yeah.
But Bruce also said, I don't believe in exercise.
Yeah, because we're both a little bit older. Yeah, he's even older than I am. Yeah, and
But
we
he
don't.
did the calculations that shocked me.
Well, we'll come to that one in a minute. And then, of course, because we cannot leave you off the hook,
Yes, of course.
you have to confess and tell all as well. And you start talking about jogging in in January. You and your husband started jogging in the
Yes.
mornings. And then your routines changed, and that was no longer possible. And you said the key word, which completely changed the dynamics of the conversation. You
Yes.
said it is unsafe for you to go jogging by yourself in the morning,
Yes.
and it's generally considered to be that such in certain parts of Johannesburg, South Africa, wherever. And this word,
Yes.
unsafe, it hit clear. Like a
Yes.
meteorite,
Yes, she was shocked. She was really shocked.
because this is in the forefront of her thinking. Yeah,
Yes.
it's that generation, and
Yes.
she asks a simple question, and that triggers your monologue
Yes.
about everyday life in South Africa.
Yes.
You describe quite graphically the compound that you live in.
Yes.
And the interesting thing, I mean, I have heard of these things before. It wasn't actually anything new. But what was new to me was there's a person I know, I speak and communicate with her almost on a daily basis. And she's describing to me the environment that her house is in. And it's like, it's really close all of a sudden. It's not
Yes.
something abstract, it's something like, wow. Okay, it does exist.
Yes.
And then, of course, the conversation flows, and this is the beauty of it. And this is why, and this is what we're trying to do in Breeder. We
Yes.
create this environment where people sit down and simply do the most natural thing in the world. They talk with each other. It is
Yes.
nothing more than that.
Exactly.
Okay, so
Ask questions, tell your side of the story,
share
explain where you live,
not where you live, but how you live.
how you
Yeah,
live too. Yes.
and in the process, you learn a lot of things. But
Yes.
the whole discussion goes on totally deeper because at one point you were talking about the rugby stadium in Johannesburg and the issues with
Yes.
that, and there were people thinking about or demanding, or there's a discussion or whatever, to build a second stadium, ludicrous as that
Yes.
might sound. But you said something really critical there that hit me. You said that you and your husband or your family had watched a rugby match between South Africa and New Zealand.
Yes.
And that triggered all kinds of emotions in me because those are two gigantic rugby countries. I mean, the
Yes.
Springboks against the All Blacks, it doesn't get much
Exactly.
more legendary than that.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And that sets in force a whole intercultural mechanism
Yes.
because, and I didn't ask you this, but I mean, how, I suppose the South African rugby crowds know that the New Zealand haka that they do at the
Yes.
beginning.
Even my son knows that sometimes he will do the haka in the living room. He will start
Exactly. And you're
with
jumping up and down doing it. Yeah. But that brings with it a whole train of intercultural awareness that
exactly.
people don't necessarily see or understand. Yeah.
Yes.
And I have this same thing when I speak with Ritesh. We talk about cricket. Now, in France, cricket is unknown. Yeah. And
Yes.
I'm out of the cricket. I used to listen to cricket commentaries in Australia. It's like, you know, and he's doing this. And so you just sort of gently nod away as some 22 people are in the
Yes.
field are trying to hit a ball around the corner or something like that. Anyway, so rugby and cricket sort of come with it, and the whole ethos of the sport, the country,
Yes.
the whole relationship that have. Okay, so and then enter Bruce. And the way he formulated the constraints that the poor man is facing when it comes to drinking alcohol, he said a lot
Yes.
without saying anything.
Yes.
And it was so brilliant.
It
It
was. It was
was so.
definitely.
And then you brought in your Fruit Loop question, and these are not Fruit Loop questions. These are extremely intelligent questions because the question that you asked was, if you were training on some exercise machine and it
Yes.
dispenses a snack, what would you like it to dispense? And apart from the frightening observation that you and I again sort of think along the same lines a treadmill. So how do you explain a treadmill to Rosie? Instant thinking on the spot. And I think
Yes.
she got it. But then Rosie thinks, and she says, Frank, do you remember when we talked about coxinhas and some other Brazilian snack? And I'm sort of going at the back of my, yes, there was something. It's going about 3 years, but yeah, we talked about it. And I've always wanted to make,
Yes.
I'd totally and utterly forgotten about these things. But it sort of just naturally flowed.
Yes.
And in the course of all of this, she introduced some Brazilian snack food, which we have to put
Yes.
into the co-op, kitchen co-op.
Definitely.
I have to cook this stuff along with your casserole. Your casserole is being tried by me next week.
Okay.
Pictures will be taken.
Yes.
And again, this whole cultural interplay, this whole sharing of experiences and humanity and ideas in a
Yes.
incredibly relaxed environment.
Exactly.
And that is what made yesterday's lunch with Janita and Frank session so incredibly special, because I don't think anybody can really judge the forces that were at play beneath the
Yes.
surface, because everybody just focuses on, I need to have the right word in the right grammar structure.
Yes.
And I'm terrified of all of this. And it doesn't make any difference if you make a mistake or not. Just
Exactly. Exactly.
talk. Yeah.
And that's also how we help each other because, like you said, Rosie had no idea what a treadmill was, and we had to quickly think on the spot on how are we going to explain to someone in Brazil what is a treadmill? And that is how we help each other. Now, hopefully she knows what it is. And sometimes she will, what I notice, she will also ask a word to make sure that she's using the correct word, which is also fine.
Exactly. And it gets away from, which is what Rosie does. She's got some translator on front in her laptop, so she's kind of quickly
Yes.
tapping. You can hear the keys tapping away all the way around the globe.
Well, let me check.
Clack, clack,
Let me
clack, clack,
search for
clack.
it.
Exactly. So we're not quite there yet, because it should be, can somebody help me?
Yes.
The thing that is happening, and I hate bringing this topic up and again, but it is actually the prime example for me of how languages work.
Yes.
So it is a known fact that my wife had a life-changing accident 2 years ago, and almost 2 years ago, and it was so bad that the people that we dealt with, the doctors, the police, the legal side of everything, the lawyers, the court, it really sort of mushroomed out into a huge thing. We did not have the time to go to a language school and learn how do you say this, that, and the other,
Yes.
because it was too serious.
Yes.
And what I'm saying here is that the people that we dealt with became our language teachers.
Yes.
They knew that we were out of our depth. I mean, how fluent are you? You can be fluent in a language, but when you come to highly specialized topics that, the normal citizen just doesn't go there
Yes.
normally. But we were pushed into this. And the interesting thing is that, even the authorities, like the court, the people in the court, the police, they were
Yes.
all understanding and cooperative, maybe because we live in a border region, so there's this mixture of languages. But if you go a step forward and attempt to say
Yes.
something, and it is blatantly obvious that this is not your first language and that you are struggling, people will generally reach out and help you, because
Yes.
there's something more important at stake, whether you speak it grammatically correctly or have the right word. I mean, we had nothing about the whole, it was like Newland, added to which that we didn't even know the system, because French
Yes.
legal system was, we'd never be experienced it before at this level.
Yes.
So, and this is what we're trying to create, simulate reality,
Exactly.
but in a safe, caring, supportive environment.
Yes. And if you think about the way that kids learn as well, they will watch TV in different languages. When my son was a little bit younger, he didn't bother actually listening to what they were saying. And then he would start using the words. He watched something in Spanish and he watched something in French and he would use these words. And then I would notice, but why are you speaking Spanish? What happened to your English? What happened to Afrikaans? Why are you speaking French? But it's words he heard on the shows that he watched. And the same with English and Afrikaans. There's not a lot of Afrikaans shows that he watches, but he learns that in school. The same with English. He learns English by watching TV shows, listening to songs. This morning he was sitting on the couch singing some country music again. But that's how he learns. So not by sitting down and teaching him the strict grammar, but by listening and trying to speak it. And that is what we are trying to do with adults as well. Listen to the language, try to use the language because we learn by speaking and listening, not really focused on all the grammar.
I mean, I'm going back a couple of years. I had this senior manager. I was working with Mercedes-Benz at the time. I had the senior manager come to me and he said, "Frank, I want to do a 2 week intensive course with you." This was still when I had my own language school. 2 week intensive course with you. I want to learn 1,000 new words.
Wow. Okay, we can
And
do that.
I said, "Right, okay." I knew the person. We'd sort of been in contact because I was
Yes.
working in the company. We'd sort of pass cross. So he knew who I was, I knew who he was, and said, okay. I knew from the outset this was not going to work.
Yes.
And I asked him, well, okay, which 1,000 words would you like to learn of the millions of words there are in the English language? And he says, I
Yes.
don't know. Okay. I said, okay, what are you actually going to do? Why are you coming to me? And he said, well, I have to go to a management school outside of Paris. The language will be English, and I'm going to spend a week doing some work there, learning
Yes.
something, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, okay, you do not need 1,000 words. You need to learn how to be spontaneous.
Yes.
And so we agreed he would come for 2 weeks, 12 hours a day. And he would write down a vocab list.
Yes.
Needless to say, this guy was in such a senior position that after 2 days, the whole planning fell apart because he was pulled into the ropes of doing his job. So that fell
Yes.
apart fairly quickly. We did write down all the words for the remaining time that he did come to us. And we also made a bet. He says, because he was skeptical about my approach. And I
Yes.
said, okay, can't remember what his name is. I said, so and so. If I am proved wrong, you buy me a drink. If you are proved, and if I'm proved right, you buy me a drink. Anyway, so the other one would buy a drink, whoever was
Yes.
right. I don't know if I got that correctly. Anyway, we went through 2 weeks, more or less than more, and we tallied up his words 250. So at this stage, I was in the wrong side of the bet. He went to Paris and he disappeared off the face of the earth, which is quite simple. You've got a large company, it's about 10,000 employees
Yes.
in the factory that I was working in. And he sort of just disappeared. And I met him in Stuttgart in another scenario a couple of months later. And he says, oh, Dr. So-and-so, so how was Fontainebleau? He said, you were right. I did need to plan this spontaneity.
Yes.
This is over 20 years ago. He still owes me a drink.
Maybe we need to track him down.
I think he's long retired. But anyway, and the problem with many of our competitors is they treat adult education like going to school, and
Yes,
adults have
exactly.
completely different needs. And
Yes.
as I keep saying, our biggest competitor is not any other training organization. They have their
Yes.
place. They all have their duties to fulfill. No, that's why we have a free market, and good luck to
Yes.
them. But our main competitor is that, oh, I'm too busy. I've got too much to do. I don't have any time, because adults
Yes.
lead busy lives. They have kids, they
Yes.
have stuff to do, they have to go to work. So you have to fit the training around that. And if you
Yes.
can sort of engage them intellectually as well, because I keep saying it's not, language is one thing, people is other, it's the content. What are we going to talk about? Yeah.
Yes.
And that is where we're at. Yeah. So that's why
Exactly.
that's just why Breeder exists.
Yes.
Selling that and convincing people of that is not easy because it's so normal.
Yes. Yes, it's normal.
Yeah. Anyway,
Exactly.
times are ticking. What else do you want to throw at me?
Looking at the list that you drew up, the haiku of the week. Let's talk about the haiku of the week.
Haiku of the week. I actually have to pass on that one because I'm totally and utterly, I confess, unprepared. It came from Natalie, I think. And it was a piece, but I would have to share my screen and then I would be violating confidentiality, etc. So
Okay.
I will take responsibility for that. I hadn't thought this one through.
But they still need to write haikus for today. So
Yes.
maybe we need to look at those ones. But I really liked Natalie's haiku. I'm just going to open it.
Maybe,
I won't share
yes,
it.
no, don't share it, but read it out, yeah, because
Yes. I just want to see if I can find it.
It's fairly, it's so
There it
what
is.
yeah, so can you
So it
slow?
says, we don't need mountains. Here the echo resonates right deep within us.
Okay, so to put into context, Natalie, French national living in South Korea, Claire's mother,
Yes.
loves mountains, has a strong attraction.
Yes.
I don't know if the here is a typo.
Hear the echo, like listen to the echo, in my
Listen to
opinion.
the echo. Yeah. So read the haiku one more time. Here in the mountain. No.
So we don't need mountains. Hear the echo resonates right deep within us.
Yeah, so I'm wondering whether here.
Is a place or is it to listen?
Exactly. So there's a little bit of ambiguity there. So room for interpretation, which is what the haiku
Yes,
should do.
exactly.
And I think this why I love this haiku so much is because it's the humans that echo and resonate with each other and the communication.
Exactly.
And, yeah. And the human connection, and all this talk about artificial intelligence and how it's going to change the world. Yes, it will change the world. It will revolutionize how we do things, but it is still a human place, and
Yes.
we will continue there on from where technology has always developed. So it's part of our
Yes.
DNA. So that was Natalie's haiku of the week. I think we should start collecting these a little bit and see if we can create the booklet somehow. Yeah,
Exactly. Yes.
quite a few there. And
Yes.
I still have to submit mine from Sarah or from you this time. Okay.
Yes. And Sarah also has some homework to
She does?
do. Yes, she has to write the haikus with the words I chose.
Ah, Sarah, if you're listening, you have till Monday. You have till Monday. Okay.
Yes, so she, as far as I know, she only went back to work yesterday, just one day out of the week, and then weekend again.
Okay. They know how to live in Saudi Arabia. Yeah.
Exactly. They love holidays. They love
Yes.
resting and
Exactly.
celebrating.
A bit like France. Bit like France in summer. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
You have a rather curious Fruit Loop question.
Yes, our Fruit Loop question for next week.
Which of course brings us to a full circle of what we opened our meeting with, our peeling
Yes.
potatoes with today. So excuse me. What do you think your pet thinks you're doing all day when you leave the house? So, given that you unwillingly, grudgingly accepted nuggets into the fold of your household, what do you think Nuggets thinks you're doing when you leave the house?
I haven't thought about the chicken, but I did think about the
Bingo! You have been Fruit Looped.
Exactly.
Okay, so what do the dogs think?
So I think the dogs think we go on a play date with other dogs. Because most of the time, when I go to my mom's house, they have three dogs, and two of them are Alsatians and one is a Jack Russell. And I usually go in, they are also closed off because they are a little bit loud and big and everything. So I usually go in and greet them, rub them a little bit because I have to feed them when they go on holiday. So they need to know who I am. But then, when I get back home, the dogs are always smelling me. And I think they do smell my mom as well. They love my mom. They get excited when they hear her car outside.
Okay.
So obviously they smell my mom and then they smell the other dogs as well. So the one dog actually knows my mom's dogs because they used to live together, but the other one doesn't know them. So he would just sniff a little bit and then run away. But the one that knows them will continuously sniffing. My feet and my legs. If I sit down, he will sniff my shirt because obviously he can smell the dogs and my mom. So I think he thinks that I go on a play date. And then when we go to the supermarket, both of them get very excited because what did you buy for me?
Yeah, but that's where dogs are so
Snacks.
exactly snacks from the treadmill, yeah,
Yes.
little dog food, dried
Yes.
dog food thingies. Cats of course are totally different. Our four don't really care as long as there's enough food
Yes.
to feed them while we're away. It's with us it's actually it's the reverse. You know, if we're going away somewhere for a lengthy period of time, you know, a couple of hours, Mary's question is always, what about the cats? Who's going to feed the cats?
Yes.
I'm thinking, well, you know, they're old enough. There's food everywhere, and there's a whole buffet outside where they can get their mice and birds and whatever else they want to do. Yeah.
Yes.
So our cats, they don't really care. They're sort of like, okay, go away, leave us alone. Yeah. So that's what I think. What I think.
Yes.
But I will.
Do they ever get excited when you get home?
They used to. They used to be sort of like a welcoming committee,
Yes.
depending on the loudness of the stomach grumbling.
Yes.
But I will never forget when Sublet and Tortue, our number one and number two cat, they are the oldest, and Tortue is the sleeping nap officer.
Yes.
Seen pictures. We got them from somebody 14 years ago, and they were little kittens, little balls of fluff.
Yes.
And I spent a couple of days at home, and then I had to go out for the day. I
Yes.
was terrified, and they could geek. I think they were outside as well. I was terrified, and I drove home as quickly as I could to see whether these two cats were okay. And in the garage, there's a set of stairs leading up to an attic in the garage, and they were sitting up there, meow, meow, little cute balls of
Oh,
fluff,
shame.
yeah, happy to see me, yeah.
Yes.
So our mobster Uno, he's the most undisciplined of them all. He's happy to see us because then he can just, you know, claw his way through. Anyway, so we'll put that Fruit Loop question into the pipeline and see what happens.
Yes.
Okay. I think we should stop here. The clock is ticking. We don't want to bore our readers, listeners, and viewers too much. Anything exciting happening next week?
We have another drawing challenge, even though I haven't finished mine for this week yet.
I confess, I started something, but it's sort of like a rough outline. Yes, we have another drawing challenge. Yeah.
Yes. And then obviously we have the Fruit Loop question of the week. There will also be some spontaneous Dear Abbeys coming through the week.
Exactly.
And then our new time slots. That's
Yes.
also very important, the new time slots for some the crème brûlée.
Crème brûlée, Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m. Central European Summer Time until 9 p.m.
Yes.
Yes,
Yes.
might get some more people for that. Lunch with Janita and Frank. Plus, we're opening up a whole lot of different time slots, which are all empty at the moment. So people come to us, fill them,
Yes.
talk, have fun. And Bruce will somehow in London arrange that we can pass food 8,500 kilometers down the
Oh,
pipeline.
yes. He will figure that
Exactly. Right. Janita, I'm going to let you have the last word as ever. So thank you for your time this morning once again for
Yes.
hosting this with me. Thank you for all the brilliant work you've done during the week. And thank you for sharing us your traumatic experience with nuggets.
The chicken.
I think that was the highlight. Yeah, that was the absolute highlight.
There's never a dull moment.
Where would we be with them? Janita,
Exactly.
Janita, it's all yours. You have the last word. I will press the recording, stop recording button after this, and then.
So thank you very much for your time as well. You also make time to meet me, and then we do this amazing podcast. We have a lot of fun, a lot of laughs, and we also share some interesting insight about what is happening inside of Breda. One thing we did forget to mention is our newsletter.
Request permission to speak.
Yes.
Can you talk about the newsletter, please? Because I got it totally wrong. I have to say this. I'm sorry. So I thought that our LinkedIn page was open for newsletters. It is not yet. So I had to do it on my own personal profile. That's all I'm going to say about it. Tell us about the newsletter.
The newsletter was a combined effort from the both of us. Frank wrote a part and then he asked me just to have a look at it, and I rewrote it into a storytelling way, because that is what Breda is about as well, to tell stories. And he loved it so much that he just made a few changes, added a few things, and we had a newsletter. So thank you for that. I'm really glad you enjoyed it or loved it or hated it, or that you felt I took over whatever it was. But we have a newsletter. For those who want to read it, you can find it on LinkedIn. We refer to it as HOM. And if you can't find it, send us an email. We'll send it to you. So once again, Frank, thank you very much. And that is the last word.
Bye.
Bye-bye.